Can you hear me? Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Excuse me. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity you've given to us to hear your word even this hour. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you take over and lead us through. Speak to us in a language we understand. And at the end, take all the glory. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, we pray. Praise God. So blessed to be here today, and I thank God for every one of us that are here. I want to thank God for my father. He's here. Welcome back, sir. You came back looking handsome. And to all of our council member, my associate pastor, I give God praise for every one of you for considering me worthy, by the grace of God, to stand here to minister the word. God is set to do wonders in our lives today. You know, have you ever wondered why God sometimes had to allow, we are going to pray before we go to the world again, how to allow Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to land in the middle of the fire before he came in? It was already waiting for them there. Now, he didn't take action while they were out. He waited for them inside the fire, for them to land in, and he turned the fire into air conditioner. What about Daniel, who was a man greatly sought after? He was a man that loved and trusted God, a man of vision, aspiration, full of knowledge, and studious. He landed in the lion's den. God waited for him inside the den. God didn't have to stop him halfway. Why? And of course, Lazarus was sick unto death. They sent message to Jesus Christ. He was a friend of the family, close compatriot of the family. But he tarried one more day, such that, you know, in the Jews' tradition, they believe after 3 days, there's no hope of resurrection. He waited one additional day, and then he showed up and told them, "I am the resurrection and the life." And Lazarus came forth. Now, God is speaking to someone here. There is a fire you might be going through right now. You might be in the very midst of the lion's den. Or maybe your Lazarus may have completely died and you had given hope. You have given hope completely. I want to tell you that God is already in that situation. Now, he has allowed it not to debase you, but he has allowed it to build you up. God has allowed it to work it for your good. I want you to look unto God no matter what the situation is and know that God is just beginning with you. Amen. Project the message. And so we are going to pray based on this. I don't know the fire you may have gone through or the situation you may be facing. You are going to say, "Lord, I trust you in this." No matter what, just bow your hands. Say, "Father, irrespective of what I am seeing right now, irrespective of what I am going through, irrespective of what's been happening around me, I trust you that you've got me covered. I know, and I know that you are set to do something new in my life. Thank you, my Father. God will turn it to a testimony for you in Jesus Christ's mighty name." And so, Father, as we go into your word today, speak to us in Jesus' name. Today, you know, the last message I was privileged to stand here to share, which has to do with sanctification and holiness, I was preparing to share this unlocking the supernatural. And God said to me, "Hold this now. Say to my people, this one." I believe God was preparing you for something, because that message and whatever we talked about then is key to whatever will unveil what we shall be talking about today. It is very key to it. And so today we shall be looking at the word unlocking the supernatural. And that's the part one of it. As God will lead us, we'll proceed to part two whenever I have the opportunity. That means I want to take my time. Anywhere I stop, that's part one. And then we'll go to part two next time. The scripture here is, our key scripture is John chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. John chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, Excuse me. And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, I take it from verse 3. Said, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then the verse 5 says, "You must be born of water and of the spirit to enter into the kingdom of God." Verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." We also have Psalms chapter 82, verse 6. Psalms 82, verse 6. Can you project it, please? "I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High." Verse 7. "But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes." Somebody say, "God forbid." In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And finally, John chapter 10, verse 34. John 10, 34. Can you project it? John chapter 10, verse 34. Okay. It says, "And Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods?" 35. "If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified," mark that word, "and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God." Hallelujah. Unlocking the supernatural. The supernatural simply means the realm that is beyond the physical. It is beyond the natural. It is not an ordinary realm. And our word today says unlocking the supernatural. That means that the supernatural is within us. And therefore, we need to access it by unlocking it. The supernatural is our realm that God has originally ordained us to dwell in. But why are we not experiencing the supernatural virtues and happenings, things that are consistent with the supernatural life? Because it is still unlocked within us. And as we go into this world this season, I trust God that your supernatural nature will be unlocked in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible says something concerning us. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." So, the moment you are born again, you are born into the supernatural. Because every born-again child of God has the Holy Ghost. And so, you become a mystery to the natural world. And that's what the Bible said in that John chapter 3, verse 8. "The wind blows, you don't know where it's going and where it's coming from. You can't understand the bearing of the wind, but you cannot deny the impact of the wind. Because it is a supernatural occurrence, as described in that John chapter 3, verse 8. This means that every born again child of God is ordained a mystery to his world. Every born again child of God is ordained a sign and a wonder to this world. Every born again believer is ordained to be something the enemy cannot handle, because you are not just an ordinary being, you are a supernatural being. Note the word in John chapter 3, verse 8. He said in the last part, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And in verse 6, very key, it says there, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Please note that word very well. That scripture did not say that which is born of the Spirit is spiritual. It is a clear definition of our personality. That which is born of the Spirit is what? Is what? Is what? It didn't say it's spiritual. So when you are born of God, when you become born again, you become a spirit being walking in human flesh. And that is your nature. But we need to understand how to live the fullness of our supernatural being, our supernatural existence. You know, most times we look at ourselves and we say, we are human beings. We often say sometimes, I'm just a mere human being. I'm just a human being. No, sir. You are not just a human being. You are a spirit being. The Bible says, that which is born of the Spirit is what? Is spirit. So you moved from the realm of the human nature, the human being, into the realm of the spirit being, into the realm of the supernatural. Now, this confirms that we have two different kinds of life in existence. We have two types of lives. Two types. The first one is the natural life. The natural life. The life that is combat about with various things. Life that is subject to the perils and things of the world. Life that is easily overcome by the things that are happening in our lives, in around us, in and around us. Life that easily gives up. The natural life that talks like the natural man. The man that is born of humans. And they live naturally. But there is another type of life, which is the one we are specifically talking about today. That is the supernatural life. The supernatural life, which we assess at the point of us giving our lives to Christ. At the point of you being born again, you are translated from being the natural. You are translated from being the simple mere into the supernatural. So there is a change of face when you give your life to Christ, because you become born of the Spirit. You become born of the Spirit. And you see, though you are born of the Spirit, though you have moved from the realm of the physical, the natural, to the supernatural, there is a requirement for us to understand how to unlock it. How to unlock it. And that's the reason for this message today. So, we are a spirit being. We live in human flesh. And we are ordained to operate supernaturally. We are not ordained to operate like mere men. We are not ordained to operate in pity. We are meant to be in command. We are meant to be in command. So when you are born again, God ordains you to be in command of happenings. But you need to understand who you are to be able to operate in that
sphere. That's why John chapter 3 verse 6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Therefore, every born again child of God is ordained a supernatural being called the new creation. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, the Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What is this new creation? What is this new creation? That is the supernatural life, the Zoe life of God, the life that is beyond the natural. So if any man be in Christ, when you say Jesus is Lord, as soon as you accept Jesus, you are translated into that new creature, which is the supernatural you. You no more are supposed to be permitted to operate in the natural. You are then supposed to be operating in the supernatural. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, as a matter of must, you must be born again. You must be born again. You have been born of the flesh. You have been born as flesh and blood. But you need to understand that as soon as you surrendered your life to Christ, your Adamic personality was revealed, restored. Do you know that Adam was not a natural human being? Somebody that in Genesis chapter 2 from verse 42, he named all the animals himself, all of them. He was calling them by name. And the Bible says, whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was its name thereof. Both the animals in the depth of the sea, those that were flying in the sky, those that were in everywhere, he named them all. As God was bringing every one of them, he was calling them according to their destiny. That is not a natural feat. It was a supernatural manifestation. Adam was enjoying that, but man lost it at the fall. And so, the first Adam lost our supernatural nature. He lost it. But the second Adam came to restore us back to our supernatural nature. I want you to say to yourself, I am a supernatural being. I know who I am. And so I will manifest it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the supernatural is the manifestation of the word of God we receive, believe, and obey, which God confirms to be coming signs and wonders. When you receive the word of God, you believe it and then obey it to prove that you believe it. You act on the word to prove that you believe the word. Not just by saying, I believe. The Bible says that even the devil believes and trembles. But what makes the difference between our believing is we act on the word. When you receive the word, you believe it and you act on it, you trigger the supernatural. In John 14, 21, the Bible says, he that had my commandment and kept them, he is it that loveth me, and he that loveth me, he shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. I will manifest myself to him. In other words, I will manifest myself through him. Through him, the world will know that God is in their midst. I will manifest myself. But you need not only to receive the word that is coming to you, you need to take delivery of the word and act based on the word. Not based on what the world around you is saying, but based on what scripture says. That triggers the supernatural. Secondly, we need to understand that the supernatural is simply a product of our obedience of faith. The supernatural is a product of our obedience of faith. I want to tell us, Every word of God you take delivery of, you read it in scripture, or maybe it was spoken right here on the altar. You believe it and you begin to act on it. As you act on it, you manifest the supernatural. Now, but the knowledge of who we are, the knowledge of who we are is our primary access to unlocking the supernatural. So many Christians are running around. We don't know who we are. We just believe that being born again is just to answer the name of a Christian. Who are you? Are you a Christian, Muslim, or Hindu? I am a Christian. That is all. Our life as a born-again child of God is beyond Christianity. It is a lifestyle. It is not just a nomenclature. It is a lifestyle that is God with us. That is the manifestation of God even in the natural. Through you, God wants to have an encounter with the world, with situations around you. But you need to have knowledge of the word of God and of who you are in order to manifest the supernatural. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 11, the Bible says there, "And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I cannot, for it is sealed." Majority of Christians are living this life. They believe that the supernatural is so far away from them. It is sealed within us. And everything that scripture has to say is sealed in this world. We cannot manifest it. And the Holy Spirit keeps prompting us to live out the word. And we keep saying to ourselves, it is sealed. It is sealed. I cannot become it. What is Pastor Dennis saying right now? How can he say that I am supernatural when I understand that I am simply a natural man? I still feel headache. I still feel sick. That was why I began by sharing the word concerning Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That you have been through that fire does not deny the fact that you are a supernatural being. That you have been through that situation, that you are going through that particular predicament, doesn't deny the fact that you are a supernatural being. God has allowed it for a purpose, in order to reveal to you who you are, in order to make you know that you are not ordinary, in order to prop you up to realize who you are. How many of you realize or know how the ego raises its eaglets? When the ego wants to raise its eaglet, it doesn't just let them grow up in the ego's nest. No. Because if it allows them like that, they will stay like ordinary birds. They will stay like just an ordinary bird. But the ego knows too well that if I have to raise this eaglet to be an ego indeed, I need to do something. And so what does it do? It takes them up on a journey deep into the sky on a flight such as they have never been, and it releases them. He takes the mother ego, takes the eaglet on his claws, takes them up into the sky, into the heaven, and unleashes them. And the eaglet begins to fall. Free fall, at that matter. And in the process of the falling, it begins to manage to flap its wing. And when the mother ego notices that the eaglet is not getting it and is about to hit a rock, it comes, sweeps in, and picks her up again, and again to the sky. The mother ego continues that routine until the mother eaglet with the baby eaglet spreads out her wings and begins to fly. It begins to fly initially, and then subsequently begins to soar. That is why how God sometimes allows us to go through those fire, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to enable us make discovery of who we are, to understand that we are not ordinary. So he allows us through those situations. What about Daniel? He landed him in that lion's den. It's not like God couldn't have intervened midway into the lion's den. God could have stopped them, but he allowed Daniel to land there. But when Daniel got in there, he held on to his God. Did the lion hurt him? Nothing could touch him. Lion understood that this man here is not an ordinary man. But Daniel may not have even understood that he was not an ordinary man until he found himself in that lion's den. And so when God allows you to go through certain things, it's not because God wants to destroy you, but it's because God wants to reveal you. The Lord will reveal you in the mighty name of Jesus. So you see, in Psalms 82, verse 5, the Bible said, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundation of the earth is out of course. It's because we don't understand who we are. Because we don't know what we represent, the Bible says, we walk all in darkness. Our foundation becomes out of course. But if you project the verse 6 of that scripture, can you project it? He said, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High. I have said, ye are gods. Ye are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High. Please note, a goat gives birth to a goat. A chick gives birth to chicken. And so is it to every other animal. So does God give birth to sons of God. You are a God, small g God. God said it, and that is what you are. You just need to believe it and begin to act it. You know, Jesus validated this word when he confirmed it in our opening scripture, John chapter 10, verse 34. May the Lord help us to realize who we are in the mighty name of Jesus. But who are we really? Who are we? That's what we are looking at now. Who are we? Who are we? Who are we? He said, you are a God. Small g God. You are not an ordinary man. He said, but because you chose to live like a mere man, you chose to live like an ordinary man, you are not unlocking the supernatural capacity within you. You are not living the fullness of the God in you. He said, that is why most of us are dying like mere men. We are falling like one of the princes because we do not understand who we are. Oftentimes, we pity ourselves through certain situations. We cry and we pity ourselves. Instead of us to arise and take charge, we cry. We complain because we found ourselves in lion's den. God allows it. God allowed it because he wants to build you up. God allowed it because he wants to show you who you are. It's not because he hates you. God allowed you to go through that fire. And some of us may even be in that fire now. Not because God wants to burn us up, but because he wants us to, at least for once, realize who we are. And so he puts us through those challenges. Who are you really? Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? Do you really know who you are? God is saying that you are not an ordinary man. He said you are a God. Jesus validated that in John chapter 10, verse 34 to 36. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. Verse 35. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. Ye are gods, and the scripture cannot be broken. In other words, God has not changed his mind concerning you. God has said, you are God, and he has not changed his mind. As far as you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God expects you to manifest the God in you in every situation by rising up to the challenge. He said, and scriptures cannot be broken. Why? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Say to yourself, I am God. I know who I am. I cannot be bamboozled by the enemy. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That is your place in God's eternal scheme of things. Therefore, based on the above, who are we? We are redeemed, a spirit being in human flesh. Number one. We are redeemed, a spirit being in human flesh. We may be carrying about flesh and blood, but that does not make us flesh and blood. He that is born of the flesh is flesh, and he that is born of the spirit is spirit. So you are redeemed, a spirit being. John chapter 3, verse 6. You are redeemed, a spirit being. And I said before, that scripture did not say you are a spiritual being, talking about characteristics. No, you are not just a spiritual person. God says you are a spirit being. He that is born of the flesh is flesh, and he that is born of the spirit is spirit. So you are redeemed, a spirit being in the midst of this world. You know, when the devil messed up in the heavens and he was cast down to earth, men would naturally think, why would God send the devil? The Bible said in that book of Ezekiel that the devil in his big, great wrath has been cast down to earth. But the devil has nothing on you, even though he's there on the earth. Number one, you are seated in heavenly places as God, and though you are living here on earth. And number two, you are not an ordinary being. So the devil is not supposed to have his way in your life. That does not mean that he will not try. That does not mean that he will not toast darts. That does not mean that he will not try to put you in lion's den. That does not mean that he will not try to toss you in the fire. And why does God allow it? Because God wants you to have an experience of who you actually are. So, you are redeemed, a spirit being in human flesh. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, where we read, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That new creature there, do you know what it is? I've said this several times. It means that you are redeemed. When you are born again, you are born into the kingdom of God as God. Please listen. Do you know that the son of the sultan of this land, he doesn't need to do anything. He doesn't need to earn it to become a prince. As soon as he's born into that family, he becomes the heir to that throne. And whether you like it or not, you must accord him the respect that is due of him. You may look at him as a small boy. He may even be in his cradle. But he's been born into that family. And he carries that blood of royalty. But in Galatians chapter 4, from verse 1, the Bible said, the priest, though he is the Lord of all, he differeth from nothing. He is put under tutors. Because why? He does not understand. He has not grown up into exercising the authority of that kingship. That is why we need to understand and gain knowledge to enable us to unlock the supernatural. Now I say, the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. The next verse. But he's subject to tutors. He's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. So you are the heir. You are a supernatural being. You are made as God on this earth. But you need to grow into it. And so those things you are going through, it's not to debase you. God wants to grow you into your natural place of habitation. And that is why you see yourself going through those things. But most times, because we don't know, we complain. We grumble, we murmur. The hair, even though he be Lord of all, he differeth not from a servant. Even though he is the Lord of all. And so, he's subject to tutors, subject to governors. Situations begin to govern you. You begin to see yourself going through certain things. God is allowing them to reveal you to your world and to redeem you from your physical self. May the Lord help us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 30, we are going to go into that. Now, Acts chapter 14, verse 11. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying, in the speech of Lyconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. These are what men are supposed to be shouting. Even though they were trying to offer a sacrifice, and Paul told them, you don't need to offer sacrifice to me here. But these are the things that men are supposed to be seeing. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18. I and the children, which the Lord has given unto me, we are for signs and for wonders. Men are supposed to look at us and wonder. They looked at Paul in Lyconium, and they wondered at what was happening through him. And they said, no, it's a God. It's a God. This man is not ordinary. It's a God. And that is the capacity God has redeemed us to operate in. Number two, who am I? We are redeemed a lion to prevail. We are redeemed a lion to prevail. Where others travail. We are redeemed a lion to prevail. Where others travail. Please note, Jesus died as a lamb, but is not a lamb anymore. He rose up as a lion. And we rose up with him. The Bible says, we are risen up with Christ. And we are seated together with him in heavenly places. So we rose up with him as a lion. And the Bible said in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 30, a lion, which is strongest amongst all beasts, and turneth not away from any. The lion is the strongest of all beasts, turning not away from any. It means no situation is supposed to make you to bow down. No situation is supposed to make you to begin to cry. No matter what the situation is, you are supposed to invoke your capacity as God and speak to that situation. In John chapter 17, verse 18, and Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, the Bible said there, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, had prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. That qualifies us as lion because we are seated with him. And in John 17, 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. So Jesus did not send you into the world as a lamb. He sent you as a lion. Manifest it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We are redeemed, number three, to operate in the realm of unlimited possibilities. We are redeemed to operate in the realm of unlimited possibilities. John 14, 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. That is the realm of impossibilities. Where there is no impossibility. I beg your pardon. That is the realm of supernatural, unlimited possibilities. That is where our placement is. And that's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you really know who you are? Are you sure you know who you are? This is what God has created us to be. But now, How do we unlock this supernatural? We have been living like mere men, and we have been operating like ordinary people. But how do we operate in the supernatural? How do we unlock the supernatural heritage that is trapped within us? How do we do this? This is very important. Please pay attention. Because what you don't know, you cannot manifest. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says clearly, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What you don't know, you don't know it. It is understanding of what your status is spiritually that conveys you into your spiritual, supernatural manifestation. So you need to know it. That's why in that Psalms 82, verse 5, the Bible says, they know not. They know not. And so, every one of them, they live like mere men. They know not. Neither will they understand. And so, they walk in darkness, and all their foundations become shaking. And their earth is out of course. Because why? They don't know. So we need to pay attention to the knowledge and understanding of the world in order to trigger our supernatural heritage in our life. It is not enough to be born again. We need to grow into the capacity that God has ordained for us. It's not enough for the little priest to be born in that palace. That priest need to grow up in order to begin to manifest the powers that comes along with the palace heritage. And that's why so many of us, you need to engage in the things of God. That's why we are here today, to hear the word of God, so that knowledge can be impacted in us, and by the reason of this knowledge, we begin to walk the walk in the supernatural. That's why we need to be in the place of fellowship to hear the word. Because what you don't know, you don't know. But when you know it, you operate in it. So, how do we unlock the supernatural? Number one, we unlock the supernatural by accepting the finished redemptive work of Christ. We unlock the supernatural by accepting the finished redemptive work of Christ. You must be born into that family in order for you to bear the nomenclature of that family. Or you must be adopted into the family in order for you to begin to bear or enjoy the heritage of that family. I can't go to the palace now and begin to claim that I'm one of the priests here. Because why? I am not born into that family. But there is a family I have been born into by my status as a born-again child of God. And that was as a result of the redemptive work that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. He finished it all. The Greek word for it is tetelestai. It is completely done, paid for. Paid for. He finished it and he adopted you into the common heritage of the supernatural. So what are you still doing out there? Operating like a natural man, crying over situations, complaining over everything that happens. You need to understand how to unlock the supernatural. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was a leader of the Jews, he had been a leader for years. He had been there as a Pharisee, well respected and honored, but yet he didn't know what it means to be a partaker of the power that is available to him in the kingdom. And so when he confronted Jesus, I know, Lord, you are a man, somebody sent from God. No man can do what you are doing now except he is sent from God. Jesus did not go about answering those questions. He went straight to the point. You must be born again. John chapter 3, verse 3. He answered him straight, point blank. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, except you are born again, you cannot operate in the supernatural. Your capacity is limited to the natural. Your capacity is limited to ordinary mere things. You begin to live like mere men. But you, being born again, understanding who you are and growing into your heritage, you manifest the supernatural. Jesus answered, "Verily, I say unto you," verse 5 to 6, "except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." We have said this several times. It is one thing to be in the flesh, and it's another thing to be born of the Spirit. To be born of the Spirit means to be born again with practical proofs of walking out righteousness and acknowledging that Jesus is the Lord over your life. Number two, we unlock the supernatural by the knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. We unlock the supernatural by the knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. So many know the Word. So many can quote the Word. So many can even study the Word, but they don't have understanding of the Word. They run with the Logos, but they are void of the Rhema. They quote the Scripture, but the Scripture is not born from their spirit man. And so even though they have knowledge of the Word, some even preach the Word, but they lack the proofs. They lack the proof of the supernatural. It is because of one thing missing: understanding of the Word. It is understanding of the Word of God that bets the Rhema that makes you outstanding in your journey of life. That is what projects you into the supernatural. Understanding it is what makes you. That's why the Bible said it. That's Psalm 82, verse 5. "They know not, neither will they understand." So first of all, you need to know the Word, and then you need to understand what the Word is saying. You need to understand it, and then you begin to operate in the supernatural. And that's why we stand here to share the Word. And that's why this Word is coming today, so that you will understand your heritage. So that you will not look at church, going to church, as, "Let me go," so that Pastor Abraham will not ask me, "Why did you not come to church?" So that you don't go to church because you want to show up or mark register or tick the record that I was at church today. But you need to understand that when you come into the church, you have come to seek the Most High God. You have come before the Spirit of just men made perfect, and you have come to connect again with your supernatural heritage. You need to understand why you do what you do. You need to understand why you are here today. Are you here just because you felt you needed to come and spend time with brethren? Are you coming to church just because you want to mark register, or you are working your salvation out with fear and trembling? To be born again is not optional. To be born again is mandatory. If I run into any family now and say, "Look, I am part of the family," they will look at me with disdain and say, "Who is this man?" In fact, they will say I'm an invader. Because why? I have not been born into that family, neither am I adopted into that family. You can't just walk into a family and claim ownership of the family except you are adopted or you are born in that family. So if you are not born again, you don't have that personal experience, you are far away from the supernatural. You run as mere man. You'll be subject to governors and tutors that are not, they don't have pity. That will not be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 23, "But he that received the seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some and hundredfold, some 60, 30, and so on and so forth. So it is understanding of the word that we hear. It's the understanding of the reason why we are here. It's the understanding of our born-again experience that connects you
into the supernatural.
If you look at this parable of the sower, what made the difference between the seed that brought forth fruit is understanding. So please, let's stop treating the word of God with levity. What you take out of this world will determine what you take or manifest in the supernatural. As I'm saying it now, some will be saying, Pastor, what are you talking about? We are okay with the way we are living. Fine. But God has not made you to live like mere man. God has ordained for you to live a supernatural life, to be in command of things. To be in command of things. To be in command of things. God has called us out to exercise the authority that Jesus demonstrated while he was on earth. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, behold, I give unto you power, authority, to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Jesus was trying to analyze to us, to declare to us that, look, you have all it takes to manifest the supernatural. But we need to understand the word that he speaks unto us. Number two, therefore, the supernatural thrives on the power of the word. When we receive the word, believe the word, obey the word, prove that we believe it, we trigger the supernatural. Still on the power of the word. So, what does this mean? When you receive the word, John chapter 1 verse 12, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe. And that is receiving Jesus, who is the word. And you believe the word, Luke chapter 1 verse 45, but blessed is she that believe, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her. And then obey the word. Obedience to the word is key. To prove that you believe. Then you unlock naturally the supernatural. That's why Jesus told Mary through his angel, Luke chapter 1 verse 45, but blessed is she that believes, for there shall be a performance. And now Mary confessed to prove that he believed. Be it unto me according to thy word. So you must prove to God that you believe by obeying the word. James chapter 2 verse 18, yeah, a man may say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So, we need to act on the word we believe to prove that we believe it. Every bearer of the word of God is a carrier of signs and wonder. Every bearer of the word, everyone that believes the word, that obeys the word, you naturally operate as a sign and a wonder. Signs and wonders are raw confirmation of the fact that we believe the word. Signs and wonders are raw confirmation of the fact that we believe the word. Mark 16, 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord was walking with them, confirming the word with signs. Confirming the word with signs. So it is the word we believe and obey that manifests signs in our life. You see, Moses, the Bible said concerning Moses that when he encountered God in Exodus chapter 4, verse 17, he was in doubt of himself. But God told him, as you go in verse 17, thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. What is the rod? The rod is Jesus Christ. The rod is what? The word of God. Isaiah chapter 11 from verse 1. The rod is Jesus. The rod is the root of Jesse. Isaiah 11 from verse 1. So, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root. Verse 2. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom, understanding, the spirit of counsel, mind, the spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. That is the person of Jesus in prophecy. And Jesus is the rod. So if you take hold of the word of God, you naturally walk in signs. You walk in signs and wonders. You see that also in 1 John chapter 1. That which was in the beginning with God.
which we have seen with our eyes, have behold, and we have handled of the word of God. So you must move from just hearing the word to seeing the word, because what you see you cannot doubt, to handling the word for you to manifest the supernatural. And that was why God told Moses in that Exodus chapter 4, verse 17, thou shalt take the rod in thy hands. So when you have entered the realm where the word of God is on your hand, not just on your mind, when it becomes tangible on your hands, you naturally manifest the supernatural. And so, armed with the word on his hand, Pharaoh knew that God had come. And now what did God say to Moses? He said to him, I am sending you to Pharaoh as a God. Why? Because the word was with him. Now in verse 20, he said, the Bible calls that rod of God, which is the word of God in the hand of Moses, the rod, the word of God. The Bible said, and Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hands. That is the word of God. So you must get to that extent where you handle the word of God in your hand, not just speaking it. Sometimes we proclaim the word in fear. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, and our hands have handled, and our hands have handled of the word of God. Are you handling the word of God, or the word is still just in our head? That is where you can use it to do sign. How do you handle the word? You eat the word daily. You manifest the word. You obey the word. When you have reached the level where you don't just hear, receive the word, or see the word, but the word becomes tangible on your hand, then you begin to operate naturally in the supernatural. The more insight we gain in the word, the higher our level of command of the supernatural would be. Number three, how do we unlock the supernatural? And finally, number three, we unlock the supernatural through our bold declaration of the word of faith by the spirit of faith. Our bold declaration, not fearful declaration. Ah, Jesus, 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 I rebuke you. Not that kind. With Jesus, Jesus. No, 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 not fearfully. We manifest the supernatural when we declare it with boldness. As I went, maybe somebody is in a vehicle and the tire just ruptured and the vehicle is viewing from left to right. You say, Jesus, Jesus. So many Jesus everywhere. But most of those declarations are out of fear. But in the midst of that, you will see somebody who say, in the name of Jesus, I command you this car, stop. I've seen one of our associate pastor. I decree stop. He said the car just went and parked. Quietly. There were trailers coming. Declaring the word with boldness is what manifests the supernatural. So we don't just speak the word, but we speak it in confidence of faith. In confidence of faith. The declaration of the word which has entered our spirit is what we call the speaking of faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. If you believe it, you will speak it. If you believe it, you will verbalize it. If you believe it, you will confess, you will declare it with boldness. If you believe it enough to speak it, God will manifest it for you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And finally, it is the sound of faith we declare that determines the signs and wonders we command. The sound of faith we make is what determines the signs and wonders we command. Mark 11:23. For verily, verily, I say unto you that
Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Numbers 14, 28. Say unto them, as surely as I live, saith the Lord, as I have heard you spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. So what you speak determines what manifests in your life. What you say is important. What your mouth will not boldly open to declare, God is not permitted to confirm. You must speak so that you will be justified. Psalms 81 verse 10, I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. In Isaiah 43 verse 26, put me in remembrance, let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. As we round up, this is why most times I am so amazed when I see prayer is going on and some people will close their mouth. What used to go through my mind when I see such kind of occurrences happens most times. Prayer is effervescently going on, but it's just somebody who just... I always say that you don't meditate. It's not everything we meditate. There is a place for meditation of scriptures, but there is also a place for declaration. And when it's time to pray, it is time to declare. Open your mouth wide and declare. Speak what you want so that God can confirm it. Because what you are not ready to speak out, how do you want God to confirm it? And finally, we began this word by saying, you need to be born into the kingdom. I'm not talking about church attendance. I'm not talking about activities attendance. This is very good, but you must be born again. If you are not born again, you cannot taste of the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said. That is what qualifies us, gives us the birthright to manifest the supernatural, which is operating beyond what we see physically. Now, we are going to rise up on our feet. Are you ready to dedicate your life to Christ? See, it's not just about coming to church. It's about total surrenderedness to Christ and living the life. If you are ready, please, I want you to one more time make the commitment to God now. Say, Father, I surrender my life to you. Have mercy on me and touch my heart. Today I declare that I am born again and I am a son of the Most High in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, my Father, for accepting me into your kingdom afresh. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, we pray. Let's begin to give God praise for answers to these prayers. Thank you, my Father. Thank you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. We've just heard the message, unlocking the supernatural. The question you need to ask yourself, I've been asked by Pastor himself, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Meaning, are you born again? And you must grow into maturity in Christ. And you have to understand the word. And boldly, you have to declare. That is why in the book of Jeremiah 33, verse 3, God is inviting you and me to call upon him, and he will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you need to know. Brethren, the message has been declared this afternoon. It's just for you to realize that, yes, you need to declare that you surrender your life to Him. And you can't do this alone. The help of the Holy Spirit is required so that you don't keep going like a pendulum bug, going front and back. Once you take that decision, you remain steady and you go in the line that God wants you to be. May God bless His word in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to bless your holy name and thank you, Lord, for your message that we have heard this afternoon. We give you all praises and adoration for the wonderful knowledge that you have passed across to us, that we know for us to unlock that supernatural things, we must be born again. As many that are yet to take this decision, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit continue to walk over their life in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray that God Almighty will continue to minister to you, speak to you, so that you will surrender yourself to the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus. And the Spirit for you to have that boldness to declare that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, the Lord will grant you in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for your servant that you have used for us this day, more anointing in Jesus' name. As we await the part two of this message, Father, we declare that you will strengthen him with that source, the knowledge from you, so that we can hear that part, and your name shall be glorified as we heard it in the mighty name of Jesus. We bless your holy name and glorify you, Lord. Continue to bless your son that you have used. Bless his family, his children, sister, and everyone. Even the work of his hand, Father, bless it in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, God Almighty, as we depart here, your presence shall lead us in Jesus' name. As we step into new month tomorrow, Lord, the new thing shall start in our life in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything we have been praying for right from January up to this time, we shall go into our testimony in the mighty name of Jesus. All our prayer points that we have tabled before God, we shall begin to testify to the glory of God in Jesus' name. This coming month shall be a month of fruitfulness for us in the mighty name of Jesus. It shall be a month that we are going to declare ourselves and surrender ourselves to Him, for Him to use us in the mighty name of Jesus. We remember our members that are on the way, that have traveled, that they will be returning, that, Lord, you will bring them back safely in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father, for the 40 years anniversary. We commit everything into your hand. For this region, Lord, this region must experience peace in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray that towards this anniversary, Lord, you continue to uplift every brethren in Jesus' name. Those old members that will be coming, we pray, Lord, that you continue to bless them as well in Jesus' name. Protect them in the mighty name of Jesus. And protect us here in Jesus' name. Thank you, everlasting Father. We bless your holy name and glorify you, Lord. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Shall we share the grace together in fellowship? Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace in Jesus' name.